Good morning, welcome back to Nachi Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Beis, the second chapter of the book of Tehillim. And as we've been doing up till now, we're going to be looking at it from five prisms. First of all, as an overview in terms of structure, then the central themes, events in the past behind this Mizmor, potential places this Mizmor appears in our Tefillah, and finally Psukim in the spotlight. Let's start at the beginning. Overview and structure. This Mizmor consists of 12 Psukim, slightly longer than the previous one. And in terms of structure, we've seen already that it actually could be the second half. It could originally have been the second half of Mizmor Aleph. Therefore, bearing that in mind, we need to think in terms of themes and in terms of content in perspective contrasted to Mizmor Aleph. This leads us straight into the notion of themes. What are the themes in this Mizmor? So the first thing that we should note, theme number one, is the notion of evil seeming to flaunt or seeming to disparage or fight against real justice. It starts off talking about how the nations are going to fight against Hashem and say that they're going to take control of the Messiah, of the anointed one of God. They're going to break the ropes of God. They're going to shatter the order and rule in this world. So that seems to be the first theme. And the Malbim points out that this is in context of the first Mizmor, since David HaMelech has just established, we'll call it the theory of justice, that the evil will be blown like chaff in the wind. Now he is now presenting the challenge, the real life challenge of seeing people who don't seem to be subjugated to that. We see very bad people who do saber rattling. We see bad people who succeed, who exert power over those who are weaker. This seems to be the challenge of this the beginning of this Mizmor. And in fact, in this, what is the resolution to this? What is the turning point of this Mizmor? That seems to be actually in Pasuk Dalet, where it says that Yoshev Bashamayim Yischok, Hashem Yilag Lomoy. Hashem is going to be laughing from heaven and scorning those who are trying to make a noise and trying to scare those who are good on earth. What is that turning point? What is happening in terms of the theme of this Mizmor? So the Malbim explains very clearly that laughter is unlike many other emotions or characteristics. So for instance, if a person is angry with another, the subject of the sentence is angry, so he's expressing anger, and the object of the sentence is receiving anger. So it's a one-to-one. If a person, let's say, is being merciful on another, the subject is being merciful, and the object is receiving mercy. When it comes to laughter, it's not the same thing. Or whereas the subject is expressing laughter and happiness in a certain sense, or triumph, it's the other person in many cases who is feeling dismay. The object is feeling dismay at being laughed at. So the specific emotion that Hashem chooses over here is, you may think you are so successful, but as I laugh, you are going to be impoverished. You are going to be suffering the yilag lama, you're going to be made into a lag. Why is that so? What is the point of going on over here? The Malbim explains that Hashem says, I'm waiting for you to finish up your credit in this world. The only reason why you're succeeding is because Hashem's using up the last of your merits within this world so that you can ultimately find your immense and final downfall afterwards, which is going to be a theme that David HaMelech is going to come back to many, many times throughout Sefer Tehillim. One last interesting tidbit over here is the Chidah points out that in his Pirush on Dam Tanakh called the Chomas Anach, he points out that the Sofei Tevos, the last letters of the words Yoshev Bashamayim Yisrak, that Hashem will sit in heaven and laugh, are Beis Mem Kuf, which are also what he points out are also the Sofei Tevos of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Mem Kuf Beis. So he points out that the Zchus Avos will never really finish, and that will be there to protect us even at times where it seems dark and seems like other people are trying to triumph over us. There seems to be a sort of hidden message over there. The second theme, which runs really from Hay till the end of the Mizmor, seems to be the notion of the influence and the rules of Hashem. Hashem says, look, I control everything. I control land. I control conquest. All you need to do, you're my son, ask me, you want to conquer, you want to succeed Israel, ask me, speak to me, I will do that. That seems to be the second part of the theme, meaning don't get scared when you see this all happening to you. Really request, reach out to me, and that's how it will work. In fact, that's how the Malbim closes the general theme of this Mizmor, is when he says, actually, if we look very carefully towards the end of the Mizmor, when he says, when now kings understand this, what he's saying is that seeing as Hashem controls all boundaries, Hashem controls conquest, Hashem controls success in this world, then being as you know that, and I'm telling you that all you need to do is ask, then don't get worried by them. Don't get worried about all these people who you see clamoring and trying to hurt you and torture you throughout history. That seems to be the second theme. So two themes. Theme number one is when it seems that things are not working against, according to the rules of Mizmor Aleph, where bad people suffer and good people prosper. So how does that work? How does that look? And the second theme is knowing Hashem is in control of this world. What events, let's move on to the next idea, what events are in the past of this Mizmor? So Rashi and the Radak actually point to a very specific event. They point out that when David HaMelech first became king, we know when you go to Shmuel Beis, Perek, Pasuk Yud Zayin, that we are told that when the Philistines heard that David HaMelech became king, they immediately attacked. And therefore, this is David HaMelech's response to when he became king. He became the Mashiach, as is mentioned in Pasuk Beis, Al Mashiachai, who's the anointed one. It doesn't just mean the Messiah in the future. The Mashiach is any king was anointed with oil. David HaMelech was anointed with oil. So here he is being personally under attacked, and that is why he is penning this. In fact, the Ibn Ezra suggests that it might be one of the courtiers of David HaMelech who is penning this in response to how David HaMelech reacts to his enemies. He says, Chibro echad me'amashorerim al David ba'yom himashchoy, that it was on the day of David HaMelech's own anointing that this is actually being penned in response to this. There's another alternative as to the historical event behind this Mizmor, and that is generally adopted by the Radak as well, and is based on a Gemara, or many Gemaras around Shas. One of them is in Brachos Zayin Amud Beis, which describes that this is actually referring to the apocalyptic war at the end of time, called the war, famously called the War of Gog Umagog. The war, in fact, which will center around the land of Israel, will be a terrible apocalyptic war, and ultimately Hashem in the end will reveal himself and bring success to the nation of Israel. But at this, before that happens, this seems to be his perspective. Even though the nations are going to clamor, they're going to bring all this terrible disaster to the land of Israel. Don't worry, Hashem is going to be laughing because Hashem is going to have the last word. Just in vain with that theme, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel Amud Beis tells us that Hashem Yilag Lama refers to that at the end of time when Hashem finally does reveal himself to this world, there's going to be all the nations are going to be clamoring and wanting to have a piece of the world to come, and they're going to ask Hashem, please give us a second chance, and Hashem will give them this mitzvah of sukkah, and they'll try to perform the mitzvah of sukkah, but it'll be a very hot day, and they'll leave the sukkah and they'll kick it. And that's the point, Hashem Yilag Lamoi. That's when Hashem will laugh at them, meaning Hashem will, even having given them a second chance in the future, at this apocalyptic time in the world to come, as we're entering into the times of Mashiach, they will still not be able to get there. And this seems to be consistent with this idea that this is not just about an event in David Melech's life, but rather an event in the future. This Mizmor does not feature heavily in the Siddur, certainly not as a unit in terms of the fourth item. But Psukim in the spotlight, just two Psukim that I want to just draw attention to as you learn through, as you say, as you daven through this Mizmor, and that is Pasuk Zion, is where Hashem says, I tell you, Asapro el Choyk Hashem, Omar elai b'ni ato ani hayom yiladiticha. Hashem says, you are my son, you are my child, I gave birth to you today. It's important, and the Mefarshim really accentuate this, as the Radak says, is this is not to be used or misunderstood as certain religions do, that there is a person, a human being, who is to be seen as the child or son of God. Rather, this is referring to either, as the Radak points out, David HaMelech, who was described as the son of Hashem as his king from the Davidic, the dynasty of Judah. Or it could mean to say, and the Radak says very beautifully, it refers to any person who chooses to live the life of Hashem becomes their child. I remember I had a friend who was in South Africa, Rabbi Blumenthal, who was once getting his laundry at a particular place, and the person, the dry cleaner, said to him, "Son, where are you going?" And he said, "Oh, I'm going back to Israel. I'm learning there now." She says, "Oh, do you believe in Yoshka? Do you believe in the Savior of the Christians? Do you believe that he was the Son of God?" And he says, "Absolutely." And she says, "Brilliant." And he says, "But I believe they were all the sons of God and daughters of God. Do you not believe that you're a daughter of God?" The point is, yes, says the Radak, read this carefully and clearly. Bani Ata, Hashem says to every one of us who chooses to answer that call, we are the children of God. That is what the Pasuk is really saying, not one specific person who claimed that trademark. Finally, the last Pasuk to focus on, the last Pasuk in the spotlight, is Pasuk Yud Aleph, which is Ivdu Es Hashem B'Yirah V'Gilu B'Rada, serve Hashem in fear, and Gilu, which means to say, rejoice in trembling, which is an oxymoron. This itself, it shows us two diametrically opposed emotions that occur in us when we serve Hashem. And the one is that the opportunity of being with Hashem is gilul. Hashem is, it's rejoicing. The most powerful being on earth chooses to want to hear from us. But birada, it has to be with fear. That's why it is that when we talk about Avinu Malkeinu, he's our father, he's also our king. When we say Baruch Atah, we turn to Hashem directly to you, but then we turn to the third person. Melech HaOlam is the king of the universe. There's always this tension in our relationship with Hashem, is being close but also being respectfully distant in trying to get that proximity. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.